some through the fire, but all through the blood. And that, of course, would have reference to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, typified in the Old Testament by all the sacrifices they brought to the temple and the tabernacle. Jesus puts an end to that by shedding his own blood on the cross for our sins. What a wonderful Savior. Well, good to see you all here this morning. This is Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers that are here this morning. And good to have you with us. And hope you have a good day. It certainly is a beautiful one, isn't it? The wind is blowing, getting rid of all that pollen. Or else blowing it up even worse. I don't know, whatever your situation is. Could be worse. But it's a good day for us. I do have a special message for mothers this morning. So we're going to be preaching to the moms. And I will be reminiscing about my own a lot in the message this morning. I have a wonderful mother, and I will be using her this morning in my message as I preach to you this morning. All right, now, it's good to see each one here, and those who were having some trouble through the week are here, and good to see you. And God does take care, doesn't he? Like we sing there, God leads us along. Sometimes it's through a stormy way. Other times it's in a nice way. But he is there, and he will help you no matter what the situation is you're in. He will help you through it. Better than drugs, doctors, psychologists, or society as a whole, or whatever, the Lord knows you. He knows you. He cares about you. All right, let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless our time. Our Father in heaven, we come to you because without your help, what we do here is vanity, empty, worthless. But if you do help us and lead us along, then everything we do here is worth everything. It's worth more than the riches of the world can purchase. The things that we can learn about through your holy word. And eventually through your great gift of your son on our behalf. So help us to have a good service this morning. Teach us good things out of your word. And bless the mothers that are here. How we thank you for our mothers. And especially those who are godly and live a good example in front of us. What a great testimony it is. And a great privilege to have a mother like that. Bless our time. Thank you for bringing folks through this week. A lot of troubles, troublous times, difficult times. And as prayer went up, we saw that you would take care. And help us to learn to pray even more. And cast all our care upon you, like you tell us to do in your word. So help us to have a good time of fellowship. May the singing bring honor and glory to yourself. May the angels in heaven be caused to break out in praise themselves up there in heaven as they hear sinners like us giving praise to the one who saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go on over to number 350. 350. The song challenges you to think about the unsearchable riches that there are in Christ. Number 350. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. 350. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wealth that can never be told. Riches exhaustless of mercy and grace. Precious, more precious than gold. Precious, more precious. Wealth that can never be told. All the unsearchable riches of Christ. Precious, more precious than gold. All the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who shall their greatness declare? Jewels whose luster are light. Be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that would trade all that they know about Christ and their allegiance to Christ for gold? There might be some, I guess. They'd be a real traitor and everything, but wow. I don't know anybody who really knows the Lord as their Savior and loves Him who would say, you know, I'd give all this up if you gave me, you know, 2 bricks of gold, or lots of gold. I know that they would say, I won't take it. It's not a fair deal. It's not fair at all. Christ is much more rich than that. And to know Him as Savior, have eternity set with Him in eternal blessedness and heaven and all that, you can't buy that with gold. You can't make me turn on Him with all the riches of the world. You say, yeah, well, it just hasn't been offered to you yet. No, and it hasn't. I admit, it hasn't been offered. But I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. I believe that I could stand here today and say to you, no way. I could not be enticed away from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'll be singing a song a little bit later which will give you a testimony of mine as to why I wouldn't be able to give it all up. All right. Now, Proverbs 31. Let's go there. Old Testament Proverbs 31, Mother's Day. You've got to read this together with me. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to start down at verse 10. The passage on the virtuous woman. And every woman here today, whether you're a mother or not, you ought to look at this passage of Scripture and say, can I fit into this passage? And if not, then you need to repent and ask the Lord to be your Savior and help you to be the woman of this passage. And if you are already saved and you're still not the woman of this passage, ask God to help you to be the woman of this passage. This is a great passage of Scripture. Would you read it out loud together with me? All right, so try to stay together and follow with me as we read through. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Together, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Of course, you have to put it in the setting of the Old Testament time period and the culture of the days and everything. But what a woman, huh? What a woman is given to us right there. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You don't buy a woman like this, all right? You have to be that kind of a woman inside. And I believe God can help you to be that kind of a woman if you let God lead and guide and direct in your life. And of course it says she fears the Lord. Look at there at verse 30. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. You know, beauty is vain. Got some of these models and these supermodels and everything else. I'll tell you what an empty shell they are. Oh, but they look pretty. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. They do. But guess what? Empty. If they don't have the fear of the Lord, as it says here, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What an account in the Word of God. That's great. All right, well, if you'd like to follow along with the song that I'm going to sing, it's number 794. But as a testimony to you, there's a chorus to this song each time. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And I want to give testimony to it. And on this Mother's Day, I think my mom likes this song. And so I'll sing it for her, even though she is not here. She's out in Indiana right now, but she probably will listen to this if we put it on the internet. All right, now number 794, I'll sing it for you again.
His eye is on the sparrow. He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because I pray, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me, and I know He watches me.
Okay, folks, the morning message on Mother's Day. I would like to take you to Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. I grew up in the area of Broadsville. That's where Brother Bill Buskirk is from. Well, isn't that great? He came all the way down from Broadsville to come to church here. And he's a member of Ray Street Baptist Church. He and his wife, Chevie. Chevie's not here. Every other Sunday, she can't be with us. But they're members here at Ray Street Baptist Church. And they live all the way up in Broadsville. Well, I can see why. It's God's land, right? No. But I was brought up there on a 200 unworked acre farm. We had the run of the place. We could do whatever we want, just about. We could camp out overnight if we want, or stay in the house. We had a pond out back with big bullfrogs in it and would sing you to sleep at night. You ever have that opportunity? Loud, low-sounding frogs all night long put you to sleep. Had just a great childhood there, being brought up. And another thing I'll say too in an introduction here is, I didn't even know we were poor. You know, I didn't even know we were poor. I thought we were rich. I didn't know my dad only made a certain amount of money, and I didn't realize how much he actually paid for that place for us to live in. I thought we were rich. Yeah, we had everything we needed. I ate well. I didn't have any problem. I would grow out of my clothes before my mom could get me new ones. I'd be high-watering around with the pant legs long before I got the new pair of pants, and then they would be hanging way down because she bought them that way so they'd last. I'm getting way off, but I had a great childhood there. And the house is still standing, although I think it's going to fall down any time. I expect to see it. It has no windows in it, and I believe it's falling apart. It has a tin roof, and when the rain would come, you would hear the rain, each one of them hitting the roof. We have squirrels in the attics. They roll their nuts across the floor in the attic. You couldn't get rid of them. There was just too many. But I want to tell you, though, and I hope I don't cry. Yeah. But the greatest part of that house and that living was my mom. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Okay? I had a mom who loved me, and I want to talk about her. In fact, this is the title of the message. If I can see. Right now I can't see. Here it is. Things my mother said to me. Things my mother said to me. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So that's about all the men here today. All right? Aged. You need to be sound or sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women, and that's not too many of you here today, all right? You're all young ladies, all right? The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And then here's what I want you to grab a hold of. That they may teach the young women, so the aged are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Or have bad words spoken against it. That's what blaspheme means, to speak bad words against. Notice the young women, how they should be taught and how they should be taught to be. Sober, love their husbands, love their children, discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then one other place, you're at Titus, just go to the book prior to it, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 5 says this. Paul the apostle is writing to Timothy, who's a young man at this time, a young preacher in the early Christian church. Just after Jesus died, rose up, and went back to heaven, he established Christian churches. Timothy was a pastor, young pastor. But Paul here just makes reference to some people. Listen to this. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, and that means not faked, but real, in other words, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, it's really great to have a mom who's saved, a mom who's in the faith. And I'm going to talk about my mom, who from the very beginning of my time on this earth, I can only remember her as being saved, a saved mom. I grew up in a home where mom and dad were saved, born again. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They weren't saved too soon before I was born, so they were rather new in the Lord, you could say, newly saved. My mom and dad both grew up in non-Christian environments, and they got saved in their 20s. But as far as I can remember, they were all always saved. And I had to grow up, and I was not saved myself until 11 years old. But I was brought up in the middle of this. Before I was 11 years old, I could probably tell you how to get saved, but I hadn't done it myself. And so that's my upbringing, and I'll tell you, I want to say I am very blessed to to have that kind of an upbringing. And I know that may not be the case with you. It may be the case with some of you. It may not be the case with all of you. But I would say, if you're a mother here this morning, I would say, listen to what I'm saying here and determine in your own heart and mind if you're that kind of a mother. And maybe, of course, if you're not saved, it's very difficult to be this kind of a mother. But I will say that even some unsaved mothers can be pretty good if they follow some good principles and so forth. But oh, how much better it is if you're saved and you know the Lord is your personal Savior and you have the strength from within to be able to do these things. Now, these are the things I remember most about my mother as I grew up at home. And you probably have heard these same things yourself. But I want to just emphasize them a little bit. First of all, in the area of discipline, while I was growing up and when she would do her disciplining. Now, the main disciplinarian in my home was without my dad. I feared him more than my mom's discipline. Because he would use certain pieces of equipment to get the discipline across and to administer the discipline. And I remember it not fondly, but well, all right? I remember it, and I thank God now for it. And so, the need for discipline, first of all, let's take a look at a couple of verses, and I'm going to tell you what my mom said, all right? Psalm 58, verse 3. There is a need for discipline of children in the home. You just cannot succeed in raising children without it. Psalm 58, verse 3. Listen to what it says here. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, we have two adorable babies in our meeting this morning, don't we? We have the newborn Emma, just a few weeks old. And Benjamin, how many months now? 3 months old. And I will tell you that these parents have already realized the truth of this verse. They've already realized it. The wicked, it's hard to think of Emma and Benjamin as wicked, but that's what they are until they get saved. They're wicked. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're trying to go to sleep. That baby is speaking lies in the form of, wah, wah, wah. Everything is fine. They've been fed. The diaper's changed. They're comfortable. They're speaking lies. and it just keeps getting more and more noticeable as they get older and growing up. So there's a need for discipline. Proverbs, which is the book right after Psalms, Proverbs 22, verse 15, says this, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What mother has not witnessed that? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Thank God for that. Otherwise, you'd grow up as a foolish child. But the rod does drive it far from you. And so, you know what, in line of that, I can remember hearing my mother say this to me. Gary, you get in here now. And when I heard it like that, I knew I was in trouble. My mom was a disciplinarian. Oh, yeah. She disciplined. And when I heard those words, and usually that would be during the day, my dad was at work, so I knew I was in trouble with her. Gary, you get in here now! When I heard it like that. Now, if I heard it like this, Gary, would you please come here a minute? I thought, well, that's easy. I can do that. But, Gary, you get in here now! I could just tell this isn't going to be good. And then how about this? Tell your sister you're sorry. Or brother. I had brother and two sisters. Tell your brother you're sorry. You know, we just had a fight. He did something he shouldn't do to me. It was that way. I never did anything bad to him. It was always him doing bad to me. No, yeah. It was both ways. Tell your brother you're sorry. And of course, why was it so hard for me to say I'm sorry? And, I'd have to go through more discipline just to get myself to say I'm sorry. I already went through discipline for whatever the issue was that I'm supposed to say sorry for, and now I won't say sorry, so now I'm in trouble again for that. I just didn't learn. But I had a mom who saw the need for discipline, and that mom of mine made sure I said I'm sorry. One way or another, she found out a way to get me to say I'm sorry. I would spend a lot of time in my room. Then you just go right back up to your room till you're ready to come on down and say you're sorry. You know, up to the room you'd go. That room is still there. The corner is still there. I'd have to stand in. It is going to fall down one of these days. But you go and tell your brother you're sorry. Remember that? Have you ever had your mom tell you that? Remember times like that? And maybe you're the only child. How about the neighbor child was around and you did something you shouldn't do? And you tell your neighbor friend you're sorry. Then here's the ultimate. And then I'm going to give you some verses as to why this ultimate is the truth. How many of you ever heard this one? I have heard it many times. You wait until your what? You wait until your father gets home. Those were words that did shake me right down to the sneakers, the Chuck Taylor Converse sneakers that we wore out and my toes would be sticking out of before I got a new pair. Those were the words that made me shake. You wait until your father comes home. You know what has happened by then? I've already exhausted all the disciplinary tools and skills my mom knows to do at this point. And now it's left to you wait till your father comes home. And I'd always hope that he would get a little overtime right about then and have to work late or whatever. But he never seemed to get it on those days. All right? He'd be home right at the time and I could hear the car pulling into the stone gravel driveway. And I knew I was about... And then, of course, we had in this house registers in the upstairs floor. And these registers were round, and there really was nothing. You could look right. You could actually put your hand down, and wave to someone down the first floor. And I'd be in my room, and my dad would come home, and then I'd listen to the report that my mom would give to my dad. And I'd say, it wasn't that bad. It sounded a lot worse than it really was. But you know what? There was a need for discipline to be carried out. I want to just give you some verses in the Bible that I believe my parents knew about and followed. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. And I believe every godly parent and any parent that's worth his weight in, feathers or gold, whichever way. Proverbs 13, 14 says this. Proverbs 13, verse, it's not that verse, it is, 24. Proverbs 13, 24 says this, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And betimes means early, right away, right when it's needed, immediately. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, I know that, all the psychologists of the day today, they say you shouldn't spank your child or use a paddle or anything like that. But you know what? This is today's world. This is God's word. This is God's word. And it hasn't changed. You say, well, that's old time. No, it's still good for now. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. So if you put off the discipline, you're actually showing that you don't love your child. You need to show you love your child by disciplining that child. Then Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. 23. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Oh boy, I thought a few times I had taken my last breath during one of those disciplinary sessions. But I certainly did not. I was probably made, my cardio was probably built up even better as a result of it. I'm just kidding. They didn't kill me. Verse 13, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and here's what you will do for him. You'll deliver his soul from hell. And I believe there it has reference to the grave. He won't end up having to die an early death because of being a rebellious son or daughter. Chapter 29, Proverbs 29, and verse 13 and 17. Proverbs 29 and verse 13. I don't know why I have verse 13. I think it's 15. Verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, and here you go for Mother's Day, bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know, I don't ever remember my mom having to worry about taking us out into public and wondering what we might do in the public realm. We were disciplined in such a manner that when she took us to the store, we didn't do the tantrums like some of the other children did on the store floor or whatever the situation might be. We were already disciplined to know that when she said, stop that, I better or else. And it was taught at home, in the private time at home, rather than in the public time, in the public arena. And yet, I'm sure you've all seen children bring their mother to shame because of the way they act out in the public realm, and it's because in the private realm they're not consistently being corrected and chastened and disciplined. But it says, if you correct your son, he shall give thee rest. Oh, well, don't laugh at that until you've tried it. And I think you'll find it works. And mothers, oh, make sure you fulfill it. This is the hard part of the message here, you know, the discipline part. Now, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Well-known passage of Scripture. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But it has to be done when he's young. Training up that child in the way they should go. Mom, it's your responsibility to do this as well as the father. You can't just let it all onto the husband side of things. You've got to be part of the disciplinary action as well. And train that child up in the way he should go. You know, there is a way they should go, and there's a way they shouldn't go. You make sure he's being trained in the way he should go. Pick the right things, the good things. And don't make fun of the funny things that they do that are bad. You need to train them up in the way that they should go. Chapter 19, verse 18, in connection with this, 19, verse 18 says this, chasten thy son while there is hope. You know, by 3 years old, the most important training is done. By 3 years old. The most important time of their life of training and discipline is right there. By the time they're five, pretty much their character, personality, and the way they're going to be the rest of their life is formed. It's already done. Wow. Oh, but he's such a cute little baby. Yes, they are. But you've got 3 years to get it through. To that child, this is the way you should go as opposed to the way you want to go. Here's the way you should go. And you need to train in the way that they should go. And that battle is either won or lost right there in those first few years of the child's life. That's why it's so important that a family be intact and working together, husband and wife, on the same wavelength as far as how to raise this child. Do we really love this child, or do we just want this child to grow up any way it wants to? If you really love your child, you'll chasten that child and discipline that child in the way that they should go. If you don't love them and you're too selfish and self-minded and only concerned about your own pleasure and so forth, and you don't take the time to train that child will bring you shame. It will happen. Well, verse 18 there says, 19 and 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Oh, but I can't stand the child. I don't want it to cry. Better off it cry now than you cry later. Better off that he or she cries now than you cry later for not having done what you should have done. And if you don't do what you should have done, you will cry later. And that's the truth. You will cry later when there is no hope now. Except that if the Lord changes his heart and life, or her life, or whatever it would be. The next area of things that my mother said to me is in the area of parenting. Let's show you another verse, Proverbs 1 verse 8. Proverbs 1 verse 8. Listen to this. Proverbs 1 verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Go to chapter 6 and verse 20. Same book. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, this is parenting. Just being a parent. Mom, mother, you got to be that parent. Don't let someone else be the parent. I know we live in a day of daycare, don't we? And everybody sends their kids off to daycare. But those people in the daycare center are not mom and dad. They're not the parents. And our society is suffering the results of daycare all the time. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You send your children to daycare, they'll send you to elder care. Just like you got rid of them so that you could do what you want, they'll get rid of you when you're old so that they can do what they want. And you know, this Mother's Day, there are mothers sitting in nursing homes all across this land who will not hear a word from their children today. And the phone lines ought to be absolutely jammed packed with children calling mom and dad, even in the nursing homes. The floral shops should be so busy they can't even get all the flowers to the destinations. It really should be that way. But it's not going to be that way because we're living now in the second or third generation in the daycare now. I mean, this thing is accepted behavior. And a stay-at-home mom is a relic of ancient history. But I don't believe it's wrong. I believe it's the right way. And careers ought to be put off until that child has been trained up in the way he should go. And mom has a very important part in that. You think that's old-fashioned? I know it's old-fashioned as I say it. I know it. But I still am going to say it. Because I believe it to be the best way and the Bible way. You send your kids to daycare, I'll say it again, they'll send you to elder care and drop you off and forget you even exist. Almost like you do when you drop them off at daycare and forget that they exist and hope that those people there do the job that you should be doing. You can't pay anybody. You can't pay anybody to be your children's mother. It's impossible because they're not the mother and they will not do the job that a mother can only do. Oh, here's as my mom did her parenting. I can remember her saying this to me. Gary, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Do you ever hear that one? I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Why did I give my mom opportunity to say such a thing like that? That's because I needed a mom who, though she may not have thought, she didn't know what to do. She was doing the right thing. She was doing the right thing. And she probably got to the end of her rope a lot of times. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. But whatever she did it. And I'm glad for it. She did it. She knows what to do. And oh, I'll tell you what, a child can bring heaviness to his mother. Look at Proverbs 19:26. It's a Mother's Day message, but I'm preaching to children. How about this? Proverbs 19, verse 26 says this: He that wasteth his mother and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Whoa, chaseth away his mother. Whoa. How about these words? Have you ever heard your mom say this while they're parenting? Because, you know, when you parent, you don't always do everything right. You make mistakes. You ever have your mom say to you, Gary, I need to ask you to forgive me. Wow. That's why I wrote my notes here. Wow. Mom, a sinner? Mom, made a mistake? Yeah. And you know, that was good for me to hear my mom at times. She didn't have to, I don't know that she said that very often. But you know what it taught me? My mom's a sinner and so am I. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She taught me that just in that little incident that we might have. Then there was times I'd say, Mom, how come you don't spank Diane and Beth the same amount of times as you do me? How come my brother seems to get off with... He's older than me. How does he get off? Why does it seem like I get more? And then, have you ever had your mom say this to you? I love all of you the same. You know what, mothers? You need to say that. I love all of you the same. But you know what? You're not all the same. But I love you all the same. Oh, that mom... That's a wonderful thing to be able to say, and you need to be able to say that to all of your children. I love you all the same. You know, that also tells me a lot about my Father up in heaven when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God up in heaven loves every one of you the same. The same. So much so that he sent the same Savior for us all. The same cross saves us all. The same blood saves us all. He loves you, all of you, the same. Not some more than others. Then in the home, I can remember, you know, Titus 2:5 says, keep her at home. You remember reading that there? She's to be a keeper at home. I can remember asking my mom, and now I know that I was only about 6 or 7 years old when I asked my mom this type of a question. My mom cleaned the house and vacuumed the house and washed the clothes and everything. And one day I asked her, why do you do all that? Why do you take care of the home and keep it clean and vacuum and wash the clothes and dishes and all the, these things? And I can remember my mom's response to this. It was this. Now you might think this is a sexist response, but you just have to listen. This is what she said. Because your father wants it that way. Wow. Your father wants it that way. And I would say to myself, well, boy, boy, what kind of a rogue is he? You know, well, kind of a tough Sly master, and I didn't think that at all. I thought more highly of my mom. That, whoa, you're doing all this for him. Because this is the way he wants it to be. Moms, you need to teach your children that that's why you do the things you do. That's Because your father wants it that way. Then, those of you, how many of you ever played an instrument, musical instrument? Raise your hand. All right, then I know you've heard it. Gary, practice your piano. Practice your piano. and I'd put the clock there and watch the time go by. It went so slow when I was practicing the piano. A half hour. I had to practice a half hour. Boy, that thing took forever to get around. And when I was out playing ball or something, like that, you know? Boy, you know what? She was teaching me character. She was giving me some integrity inside me that I would have to learn. If I want to be able to do something, I'm going to have to put my attention to it and spend some energy in on it. Then how about this? Be home by 9 p.m. Your parents made you come home at 9 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
9 p.m. Couldn't be out later than that. And that was until I was way old, you know, in the teens, late teens. Be home by 9 p.m. She wanted to know who my friends were, where I was. It taught me authority. I have to answer to somebody. You know, when it came time for the preacher to preach about Jesus Christ and God up in heaven and that he sent his son to die for me, I realized, you know, there's a greater authority in all this world than just me, myself, and I. God. I have an authority figure at home, Mom and Dad. And I have an authority in spiritual affairs, God up in heaven. A child who does not fear mom and dad, it's very difficult to get them to fear God and to tell them what the Bible says they need to know. If they learn that awesome respect for authority in the home, they're very willing at times to receive to give respect unto the authority up in heaven. Then the last point, godliness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we read where I see the faith in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I believe it's in you too, Timothy, Paul says. I believe I see it in you too. You know where that comes from? I remember hearing my mom say this. Gary, get up or sit up here and let's read the Bible storybook. And I'd get Eggermeyer's Bible storybook out and open up to my favorite story for her to read, which was Daniel in the lion's den. I liked the picture in that book, first of all. And I can remember my mom reading the story to me about Daniel in the lion's den as I looked at the picture. Wow. Can you put a price tag on that? How much does that cost? How much do you pay for that? When your mom says, let's sit down and read a Bible story. Or even read the Bible. My dad would do that. Oh, you can't put a price on that, folks. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11. Yep, the book of the law here. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 through 21. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21, I'll start reading as you get there. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You know, the Jews even today, very Orthodox Jews, will take pieces of Scripture and roll it up into little ornaments and wear it on their heads or various places on their clothing and walk around with that. That's kind of the idea here. Not kind of, it is what's being talked about here. Putting the Scripture right in front of you and real close to you. Now verse 19. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Look at verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. You know what? On the walls in your home there ought to be Scripture verses. Yeah, put them up there. Good verses for your children to learn while they live in your house. And the Bible ought to be the most important book in your home. The Bible. Not Darwin's Origin of the Species. No, the Bible. Not, Cosmopolitan and all those other... The Bible. Reader's Digest, Consumer Reports. The Bible. needs to be the most important book in your home. Verse 21, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. In other words, you need to teach your children, Mom, what you believe. Pass it on to them. What you have in Christ is so valuable, you need to pass it on to your children. And then lastly, my mom would say, let's pray. Let's pray. My mom would bow her head and pray. You have a mom like that? If you do, you need to call her up today and say, thanks, Mom. Maybe she's dead and gone. Stop by her grave cemetery and plant a flower there or something. Say, thank you. I know she's not there, but you know what? You need to be thankful. You need to be thankful if you have a mom who was anything close to what we talked about here this morning. How about, are you a Christian mom? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? There's nothing better than that. In closing, how about it? Are you saved? If you died right now, do you know where you're going to go? Oh, you need to trust Jesus Christ. He's the one foretold to come from the Old Testament scriptures right up to the New Testament. There he is. He dies on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose up from the grave 3 days and 3 nights later, conquered death for you. See, he didn't have to die. He didn't do any sin. He didn't do anything wrong. He took your sin, made it his own, and then he had to die. Why is there death? Why is there sickness? Why do we have hospitals? Why do we have cemeteries? Because of sin. That's why. Is there any hope? Yes, in Jesus Christ. And moms, you need to teach your children all about this blessed story of Jesus Christ. And dads, you too. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we'd like to give you opportunity to trust Him as your Savior. Jason, would you come? We're going to sing number 410 in closing. 410, only believe, only believe. That's what you need to do. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and He'll save your lost soul. And we're going to stand in a moment and sing, and then if you need to trust Christ as Savior, step out from where you're at and meet me down the front. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as your personal Savior. Let's stand and sing number 410.
Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into life, He went for His own. All power in earth, all power above, is given to Him for the flock of His love. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things
heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for mothers who gave of themselves and some of them even their lives for us. How many mothers actually gave birth and died giving birth? Others trained us up in the way we should go and didn't seem to live long. And others, Father, have not been treated right by the children that they brought up. And then there's others that were just such a good example, and we love them so. Pray that you'd bless them and help them have a good day today. And if there's any children here today that need to say thank you to their mom, may they do so today before the day is over, some way, some fashion, somehow. And bless our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.